Well, what we're going to do, I know today is June 30th, but we're not having service on July 4th. So we're going to talk about it today. Okay, I hope it's okay with you because I'm going to do it anyway. I just want you to... because God said so. So if you need a title, it's Choose to Depend on God. Okay? Because we talk about Independence Day. But when you really think about it, it's impossible to live your life in total independence. You have to depend on something or someone. And you'll see that in a minute. But turn to Deuteronomy 30. I know I didn't pray. He told me to just get going because he said you wound up anyway. In verse 19, God said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. And you're probably wondering, what kind of Independence Day message is that? I mean, that's kind of hard. Well, the purpose is to get us to understand how important our choices are. Our choices are not necessarily this is right, this is wrong. We need to start seeing our choices as a matter of life or death. I may have told you this, I think about a year or so ago, there were these folks that were traveling, and the driver looked out and he saw a bear. And he thought it was a good idea to get out and take a selfie with this bear. Everybody in the car was letting him know that's not a good choice. But he didn't listen, and he got mauled to death. And then they killed the bear. Now, the bear was acting like a bear. And he happened to be a wounded bear, which made it even worse. But this person had to reject the wisdom of his friends, and he got out of the car because he's not thinking this is life or death. No, he's thinking it's right or wrong, and there's a difference. There's a difference. I've concluded that when God said life or death instead of right and wrong is because we're too casual with right and wrong. We're too casual about it. Yeah, okay, it's wrong. It's not going to hurt anybody. No, it's death. And it will hurt you. We're always going to have to make choices. And you may be wondering why, because at least I do. When things don't happen, I think should happen, I wonder why. And I do what most people do. The first person I look at is the devil. When the first person I need to look at is me. Because the devil can't stop me from getting anything that God has for me. He can't. And the Bible says so. Jesus said, Luke 10, you can look at it later, Luke 10, 19, he said, I give you power over all the power of the devil. So if you've been given all the power, you've been given power over all the power of the devil, and really what that word means, you've been given authority over all the power of the devil, how can he do anything to you? Because if he tries, all you have to do is say, stop. And he has to stop. Just like you all have to stop at that stop sign on the corner of Wigwam and Cranberry. Whether there's an officer there or not, you respect that sign. Well, the devil has to respect it when a believer says stop. So it's not the devil. The devil can't do it. It's not the color of your skin. Say, it's not the color of my skin. Okay. It's not whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. Okay. It's not whether you're male or female. And it has nothing to do with whether or not your parents are divorced. Okay. Had nothing to do with that. It's the choices we make. Period. And we don't like that because that means it's all on us. Because if the choices I make are going to determine what happens to me, I can't point the finger at anybody else. Unless it's curved where it goes like this. You know, and it's always pointing at me. Okay. But we have to grab hold of that because there were choices made back in 1776 that affect us today. It allowed us to become independent from Great Britain. See, because of the choices that were made, and by the way, those choices were not made by the original colonists that came over. The choice to pull away from control of Great Britain and become a quote-unquote free nation was made by the descendants of the colonists, because that happened 168 years later. See, God promises you 120, so they weren't here. The original people weren't here 168 years later. But it took 168 years, probably a couple of generations, for people to realize, I don't have to live like this. But there's something about a choice that we don't like. At least I don't always like it. When you make a choice, you have to accept what comes along with it. And sometimes we won't make the right choice because we don't want to deal with what's going to come along with it. When the colonists made the choice to break away, they knew it was going to mean war. And they knew some of them were going to lose their lives. But what they wanted, they felt was worth it, so they made the choice anyway. And stuck with it. See, it can't be that we make a choice, and then all of a sudden, because it's not going the way we would like, we start whining and complaining about it, or we'll just stop doing it altogether. Once we make a choice, now we have a responsibility to stick to it, no matter what comes. This is the choice we made. I keep remembering this movie. I'm not going to tell you the name of it because I don't watch those kind of movies anymore. But something happened in the movie and someone was complaining about it. And the person he was complaining to said, look, same thing happened to me. And I didn't ask any questions because I said, this is the business we've chosen. And that went along with the business. We're Christians. This is the lifestyle we've chosen. There are things that go along with that lifestyle. And if we were true when we said, I choose Jesus, if we were really true, then we'd stop whining about all the things that we go through because of our choice. And just, you know, Christian up. And just walk in the choice. And let the word do what the word promised it will do. It's that simple. Look at Romans 12:1. I've never read this scripture with a connection to choices, but I want to show you how much choice is involved in this. And we read this scripture often. Romans 12, first two verses. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Guess what that is? That's a choice. Okay? It says, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Amen. Choice. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Another choice. Yep. Takes too long to renew your mind. Why can't I just take a pill, have my mind renewed? Well, that's called the mind-altering drug. That's not what we're talking about. Okay. That ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Passion Translation says, beloved friends, what should our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? What should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God to be his sacred living sacrifice. Choice. And live in holiness. Choice. Experiencing all that delights his heart, for this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Choice. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. Say choice. Everybody say choice. Okay. Be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. A total reformation of how you think. That's another choice that we have to make. And those choices, if we make the right choices, we become empowered and we don't have to deal with death. Not natural physical death, well, it could be, but death to the promises. Death to who you are as a believer. Could be death to your health. See, the colonists, when they came over and their descendants, they wanted freedom. They didn't want to be tied to Great Britain. They didn't want Great Britain coming over and taking their wealth and their properties. And, you know, all you history buffs, you know that. History wasn't, well, it's not that I didn't like history. There's some parts of it were not as interesting as others. I'll say it that way. Okay. But prior to making the choice, they being the colonists, they probably thought about it. And thought about, okay, if I make this choice, what's going to happen? They knew fully well about the strength and the might and the power of the British Army and Navy. They knew it. They knew that the British had a reputation of not coddling people that caused trouble. They knew that. It didn't matter because they made a choice. We're going to be independent of this, period. But they understood something that we need to understand. Just because you choose something doesn't mean it's going to immediately manifest. There's work that's involved. There's work. There's pressure. And there are pressures that are going to come. But if you stick with your choice, you'll come through. There are even casualties because of the choices that were. I read that over 50,000 people were either killed or wounded during the Revolutionary War. And they said it's about 50-50. So you say, okay, 25,000 people were willing to give up their lives for their choice to be free, for their choice to be independent of Great Britain. They knew when Great Britain got wind of their Declaration of Independence, they knew what it meant. And they made the declaration anyway because they didn't care. They said, we are going to be the United States. And they made choices so that we can be the United States. There's some making choices right now that's trying to upset that, and they want us to become the divided states. Well, everybody in this room is enough to keep that from happening. If we make a choice to pray when God tells us and how God tells us. An unknown author said, freedom is never free. Deacon Phyllis teaches our grandchildren, nothing is free. They'll say, gee, Ma, this is free. Said, no, nothing is free. Somebody, somewhere, paid it. Even when you go to the supermarket and they have things on sale, they buy one, get one. In the normal, regular, everyday price that we pay for these items, it's built in for these special promotions. So when they say buy one, get two free, you've already paid for it over the years. Nothing is free. Period. That's right. Even Jesus paid salvation. We don't have to pay for salvation, but salvation's not free. Jesus paid the price. Somebody had to pay it. Now, since the Revolutionary War, almost 3 million Americans have been killed or wounded protecting our freedom, our democracy, and our way of life. They made a choice. Our youngest son made a choice. He went to the military. He said, no, I'm going to serve my country. We're going to protect our way of life. He did two tours in Iraq and one in Afghanistan. On the front lines. On the front lines. Nathan Hale was a patriot. He was a well-bred young man. He was a Yale graduate. Well-versed in math, English, psychology, and ethics. But he joined the Connecticut militia because he made a choice. I'm going to fight for this freedom. And the Continental Army needed someone to infiltrate the British Army. They needed a spy. He volunteered, knowing what would happen to him if he got caught. And he got caught. He was executed on September 22nd by hanging. It was somewhere around 3rd Avenue and 61st Street. He was 21 years old. And his last words were not, this is not fair. I'm only 21. I have my whole life in front of me. You know, this shouldn't have happened to me. I'm just trying to serve my country. No, he said, I only regret that I have but one life to lose for my country. Because he was committed to his choice. His choice was, we want to be independent of the tyranny of Great Britain. If it means I die, I die. He gave his life so that people who he would never meet or see could experience freedom. Made that choice. We need to think about that. Former President Dwight D. Eisenhower, during one of his 4th of July speeches, he said, freedom has its life in the hearts, the actions, the spirit of men, and so it must be daily earned and refreshed. Else, like a flower cut from its life-giving roots, it will wither and die. There's something about that war for independence that is not talked about. See, we lean on the independence part. But let me tell you something. Ain't no way we become independent from Great Britain if we were not dependent on help from another source. The French cut off the supply lines and blocked the British way of escape by sea. Spain owned territories, they owned the whole Louisiana territory, and they used their territories as launching points for attacks. And they also financed the revolution, because they had a vested interest, because Great Britain had some of their properties and they wanted it back. And the United States was dependent on the cooperation and support of France and Spain. And they had to rely on that dependence so they'd become independent of Great Britain. Why am I telling you this? This isn't history class. No, it's not a history class as such. But we need to understand that we are not going to be independent from the wiles of the devil if we are not dependent on something else. And that something else that we need to be dependent on has to be something or someone that's even stronger than the one we want independence from. The only person that qualifies when we talk about being independent from the devil and all his demonic influences is God. So we have to learn how to live our lives in total dependence on God. We have to choose dependency on God over independence. Let me read this scripture to you. In Romans 6. Well, first let's go to Galatians 3. Then we'll go back to Romans 6. Galatians 3. Verse 9. This is the Message Bible. It says, "So those now who live by faith are blessed with Abraham who lived by faith." This is no new doctrine, and that means that anyone who tries to live by his own effort, independent of God, is doomed to failure. Anyone who tries to live by his own effort, independent of God, is doomed to failure. Scripture backs this up. Utterly curses every person who fails to carry out every detail written in the book of the law. And we need to be mindful on whom we place our dependency. And here's why. Romans 6, verse 16. This is the Passion Translation, because it really just puts it right out there. It says, "Don't you realize that grace frees you to choose your own master? But choose carefully. For you surrender yourself, you become a servant bound to the one you choose to obey. If you choose to love sin, it will become your master and your reward will be death. But if you choose to love and obey God, he will lead you into perfect righteousness." That's what we ought to be doing. There's a person, if I say the name Charles Kingsley, it may not mean anything to you. It didn't mean anything to me when I saw it. But he was an English priest of the Church of England. He was a university professor, historian, a novelist. And this is what he said. He said, "There are two freedoms. The false, where a man is free to do what he likes, and the true, where man is free to do what he ought." See, receiving Jesus Christ as our Savior freed us to do as we ought, not what we like, unless we like to do what Jesus says. And that's what it's talking about in Romans 6:16. We need to choose to do as we ought, not what we like, because that's why we've been freed. And I did something. I looked up some words. I looked up independent. It means not influenced or controlled by others, not subject to another's authority, not influenced by the thoughts or actions of others, not dependent or depending or contingent upon someone or something else for existence. Not relying on anyone for aid or support, and even rejecting the aid or support of others. That's independence. Dependent means we rely on someone or something else for aid or support. The colonists had to rely on the support from France and Spain. It means you're conditioned or determined by something else and you're subordinate. And dependence is just a state of reliance. When I'm dependent, I'm just saying I'm relying on something or someone else. And we're to live our life in total dependency on God. Because that's the only way we're going to experience true independence from anything the devil has to offer. We have to understand that we're to be dependent on God. Period. When Peter and John healed the man at the Gate Beautiful, they did it because they were totally dependent on Jesus Christ and the power of his name. Period. Nothing else. They even told them, we don't have nothing else. You read the scriptures, there's silver and gold. We don't have. But what we have, we'll give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Period. They fully expected that the man would rise up and walk because they were totally dependent on what Jesus said and acted like it. That's how I can see when someone really means what they say. They act like it. It's just that simple. You don't hear excuses. Because everybody has an excuse. There's always a reason. But this country did not become independent independently. Okay. And we don't stay free. We don't stay the type of nation we are because we're independent. We depend on the might of our military. We want our military to, oh, you want to mess with us? We flex our muscles and folks start backing up. No, that's not what we meant. No. Oh, you want help with the wall? Yeah, okay, fine. We'll come. I mean, whatever it is. We're dependent on our allies around the world. We're dependent on them for, just like we were dependent on Spain for places to launch attacks, we're dependent on Turkey and other places, you know, so that, you know, our enemies in the Middle East know we have some place to come at you, you know, and we'll come full force. We're dependent on the decisions of our leaders. We're dependent on them. That's why we need to pray for them and stop complaining about them. We need to pray for them. Because the choices they make, we're going to have to live with. I mean, that's just the way it is. We depend on employers. Even though we know God said he'll supply our every need, and we'll say, yeah, but he uses employers, and he does. That's one of the methods he uses. It's not the only one, but it's one of them. But we say, well, I'm independent. Yeah, but if you don't get paid, then what's going to happen? Your independent self is going to be knocking on, Mom, can you spot me a little bit? And you're 35 years old. Some of you didn't catch that. But as Christians, we desire independence over, like I said, over the what am I trying to say? Over the plans of the enemy. And there's nothing wrong with that. But in order to achieve it, we're going to have to establish full dependency on God. period. We have to choose to be dependent on God and let Him do everything that He said He was going to do, because He does it better than anyone else I know. Now, this has become somewhat of an Independence Day tradition with me, because several years ago, during Independence Day, you know, I just felt impressed to just pull out the Declaration of Independence and read it. And so I did. And I read it, and I put it down, and I heard the Holy Ghost stirring me, said, I want you to rewrite it. Right, rewrite the Declaration of Independence. He said, no, we're going to use that, but we're going to change some words, and we're going to call it our Declaration of Dependence on God. You can find it. It's on our website. You can find it there, but we're going to put it on the screen. And, it's long like the Declaration of Independence, but we're going to read it together. And then we'll let them prepare, and we're going to go downstairs and fellowship and eat, and we're going to be dependent that the food is good. Okay. Right. Is it up? Because my eyes aren't in bed. Okay. Why don't you read this with me? Our declaration, is it up? Yeah. Our declaration of dependence on God. I'm just going to read through it so that they'll keep up with us. Okay. I'll try and read slowly. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for the children of God to understand that they are to have no connection to the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things, and to walk with delegated authority as the power of God on the earth. Because of the equal position they have with God, to which the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus affords them. In spite of worldly opinions, being a new creature in Christ requires God's children to declare the truths which freed them from the powers of darkness and brought them to the liberty they now have as a child of the Most High God. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created in God's image and after His likeness, and are blessed by God to be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. All men who seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness are thereby endowed with specific, unalienable rights, that among these are salvation, freedom from the curse of the law, and a pursuit of God's perfect will for their lives. To secure these rights, one must confess and believe that Jesus Christ of Nazareth was born of a virgin, crucified on the cross, buried, went to hell, on the third day rose from the dead, and is now seated at the right hand of God. That selfless act of love made available a better covenant with God, established on better promises. As God's children, we understand that we walk by faith and not by sight, giving thanks to God who always gives us the victory through Christ Jesus. So whenever any form of government stands in opposition to God and His mandate to His children, it is the right of the children of God to alter or abolish it through individual and corporate prayer for all in authority, so that we will live honestly and peacefully before God, because they know the effective fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. Such prayer will break the stronghold of the powers of darkness, bringing about a new government based on a new commandment to love. Loving others the same way Christ loves us creates a new foundation on the principles of love and forgiveness. But when sin abounds and the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, we will rest in knowing that we dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. We abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And because Jesus came to destroy the works of the adversary, we have life more abundantly. It is our right and our duty to remain steadfast and immovable, casting all our cares on the Lord. The history of the prince of this world is irrelevant. It does not matter how long he has kept this world in bondage. The very simple truth is this: Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. To prove this, let these biblical truths be submitted to a candid world. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8. But God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. John 8:36. If the Son therefore shall make ye free, ye shall be free indeed. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The Amplified Bible, Luke 1:37. For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. Luke 10, verses 17 to 20 in the Living Bible. When the 70 returned, they joyfully reported to him, even the demons obey us when we use your name. Yes, he told them, I saw Satan fall from heaven as a flash of lightning. And I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and to walk among serpents and scorpions, and to crush them. Nothing shall injure you. However, the important thing is not that demons obey you, but that your names are registered as citizens of heaven. Galatians 3:13. We almost finished with this part. Philip's New Testament. Now Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, or from the law's condemnation, by himself becoming a curse for us when he was crucified. For the scripture is plain: cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. God's purpose is therefore plain, that the blessings promised to Abraham might reach the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, and the Spirit might become available to us all by faith. Psalm 103, first five verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth my mouth with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. In Isaiah 9. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord will perform this. Therefore, we, the children of God, also known as the church, founded on the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, declare that we trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways, we acknowledge him and we allow him to direct our paths. We are not wise in our own eyes. We reverence the Lord and depart from evil. It provides health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. We will honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all our increase. Our barns will be filled with plenty, and our presses shall burst out with new wine. In him we live and move and have our being. Nothing can ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. God will supply, God will deliver, God will protect. We further declare this day that without God, we can do nothing, but with God, all things are possible. We will continually offer our prayers, praise, and worship to God individually and corporately, giving honor to God, who is the supreme judge of the world, for giving us the great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It is our intent, by the grace of God, to do so in the name of Jesus and by the authority he gave us. Being born again and in a state of total dependence on God has absolved us from all allegiance to the devil and has caused our lives to be hid with Christ within God. We will wholeheartedly publish and declare that God's grace is sufficient for us and that we are and ought to always be in a state of total dependence on God and God alone. In that dependent state, we have full power to preach the word in season and out of season, heal the sick, raise the dead, blessing those that curse us and praying for those who despitefully use us. We conclude that being totally dependent on God gives us the peace that passes all understanding, a love that will promote unity of the body of Christ at large, and the wisdom to establish commerce and do all other acts and things which those totally dependent on God have a right to do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of God, we mutually pledge to have the same care one for another as the Bible instructs us. We firmly believe that it is our sacred honor to live our lives in total dependence on God. God said it, that settles it, we believe it. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. That's our declaration of dependence on God. Amen.